Explore the world's hidden wonders on the Atlas Obscura podcast, a village in India where everyone's name is a song, a boiling river in the Amazon, a spacecraft cemetery in the middle of the ocean. Every day, the Atlas Obscura podcast will blow your mind in 15 minutes. You can find it on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow the show so you never miss an episode.
They're just like, I could deal with anything, I guess.
Yeah, if you're drunk enough, I suppose, and you're in Mexico, why not? Yeah.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
So, we've got crabs. Well, we've got the human male equivalent of genital herpes.
It must be paradise, and everyone is scouring the coastal region of Mexico to catch themselves some love. Hopefully, love.
I'm a little skeptical. Garbage dudes we'd like to grab a margarita with, and obviously some kick-ass women who deserve way better than the show will ever give them. We're digging into all of last night's insanity with our guest, Tracy McMillan. Thanks so much for joining us, Tracy.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Thanks for being here. Have you watched The Bachelor in Paradise in the past? Is this your first time?
The thing about The Bachelor in Paradise is it's so bananas. You know, it's like the spring break of The Bachelor franchise, that I tend to sort of just go, this is too insane, because I'm there to watch dating dynamics and they're basically in drinking dynamics.
At least last night. I think maybe, you know, once things settle in a little bit, we'll get to see a little bit more dating and a little less, like, violent sociopath dynamics.
Well, and it's true that all the Bachelor franchises, the beginning is the fun and games, and it's sort of absurdist in the beginning, you know, people showing up in unicorn outfits and, you know, complete insanity. But then as we go along, we start to see the relationships form, and that's what's really interesting to me.
Yeah, I don't think that it can get any lower than it did last night in terms of true relationships forming. That was, I think, in terms of all The Bachelor in Paradise I've watched, that was the most bananas it's ever gotten.
Let's just say last night was not really about love, but I think we just need to dive in, start talking about the intros. This is a show that is incredibly campy and kind of embraces how constructed it is, and kind of makes fun of itself, which I really enjoy. And I think is like a little bit of a nod and a wink to a TV landscape where we have something like Unreal. Viewers in general, just a little, you know, going in with their eyes open a little bit more. So let's see, we have in the cast.
Yeah, they started out pretty strong. The first few people who came in with their intro packages, I was like, oh my gosh, I love Amanda, I love Nick, I love Jubilee.
So great.
And then, oh gosh, here's Chad. didn't take long.
And Grant. Let's see, some of the highlights that we got.
Nick works out a lot.
Nick works out. He's a professional runner-up.
Totally. And he's in, like, my neighborhood. I'm like, oh, my God, Nick is down the street right now.
Oh, my God, really?
Yes.
Maybe he goes to your gym.
I mean, actually, the thing about this particular part of LA, it's not known for gym people. It's known for coffee people, you know? So it was kind of interesting to see him there.
I feel like Nick would fancy himself a combination between the two.
I think those are the only two things he does. He goes to the gym and then he takes an Instagram of himself shirt open with a coffee.
Yeah, he's kind of nailed it.
Yeah. We get it, Nick. You have abs.
I had a friend say to me last week, she's like, I don't know. I think there might be something wrong with me because if Nick was in front of me, I would.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see what's wrong with that.
No, Nick is lovely. We have spent a little bit of time with Nick and he's a sweet soul.
Yeah, he's like pretty attractive.
Yeah, like, and he is attractive.
I can't lie. Like, He seems a little, like, more dorky on screen, too, than he strikes you in person. You're like, whoa, this is a very tall, semi-chiseled
Oh, you just realize that the bro level on these shows is so high that he comes off as, like, the alternative guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the same when comes in. When Evan comes in, the girls are like, oh, my gosh, he's so much better looking than I expected because he seems so shrimpy and, like, sad next to Chad maybe on TV. But I'm sure in person he's great looking.
Because he's not on protein powder. You know, I have a 19-year-old son who's, you know, he's a cool, chill person who's kind of on the nerdy side. And he'll walk through the room and he'll be like, bro, dude, bro. Like, he just thinks he thinks they are so absurd. And he's like, Mom, this is crazy. And I'm like, I know, honey.
You're like, it is.
Don't take tips from this. Don't date like that guy, okay?
Maybe he'll grow up to be like Wells.
He's more of a Wells.
That's good. Yeah. That speaks well for him.
It's a mother's dream.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. I know. Wells is wonderful. He's like the outlier.
Yeah.
He is.
We love Wells.
I feel like Evan might get his moment in the sun. I'm kind of excited about that. But we also do have Grant, who says, you know, he's very excited to meet the ladies.
Yeah.
Daniel, though, is not excited to meet these women because apparently they don't meet his very high standards for attractiveness.
Yeah.
Crazy.
When Daniel arrives, I think it's Amanda, who is like 25, a former Disney star, and basically perfect looking. Jubilee, who, again,
stunning,
could be a Disney princess. Like, these absolutely gorgeous women. He's like, I need some, like, really crisp, succulent fruit, eh? Like, these women are just too, like, they're like washed up dogs on the beach. It's like,
well, you know, women just are not fuckable past the age of 24, Claire. So, it's,
oh,
you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, fortunately, the twins
are. I don't know what you can say about him. He's not attractive.
No, that's the other thing. I'm like, what? Like,
what
high standards? I mean, I'm just,
I'm
very confused. None of these women want to make out with you, Daniel.
I love seeing him try to reject all of them, and they're just like, ew. Okay.
It's interesting because his body is perfect, but his vibe is completely off.
Well, he would be the first to admit to that. You know, he said, my personality is shit, but I'm perfect looking.
Weird.
Also, it's only perfect if you're into a very specific type of body, like kind of spindly, but with big bulges in certain places because of a lot of
specific
exercises.
My personal type, but, you know.
Yeah.
There's someone out there for everyone.
The twins actually seem mutually interested. He's into the twins because they look fresh and crisp and succulent. They haven't been bruised in transit. And they're like, we're interested in Daniel, which, why? Who's ever said that before? Izzy was intrigued.
Izzy, who came in a little bit later and was one of those people that, like, the first reaction is, who?
Exactly. She's like the female Evan. I'm like, what are you doing here? You seem like a normal person.
She only made it
one night.
On Ben's season. So we really haven't gotten any screen time with her. But she was intrigued by Daniel until, of course, they couldn't have any conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, he just can't have a conversation with anyone but Chad. It was very interesting watching her try to have a conversation with him, and everything she gave him, he just said something that was a complete non sequitur and also a little threatening sounding. And you could, like, the shift in her face from intrigued to
just
get me out of here was so fast.
Yeah. I think the thing about the nature of Bachelor in Paradise is that if you don't have a partner at the end of, it's like musical chairs. If you don't have a partner at the end of every episode, save the first one, you're gone. So people are, you know, trying to make themselves interested in somebody that maybe they're not even that interested in a regular world, you know?
That's true.
Yes. I mean, that's, like, literally the point. Like, couple up with anyone that's available in order to stay.
Anyone.
Yeah.
Yes. If you want to stay, you're going to have to pick somebody. So I feel like sometimes someone's interest in Daniel is like, well, maybe this could be my ticket to episode 3, you know?
And then
I'll find
true.
Somebody new, because someone new will walk out of the ocean. And
right. You're like, I have to hitch my wagon to Daniel until Wells shows up. So I guess, you know, we all make sacrifices.
Yes. And you know what? That's a real life dating strategy as well. I mean, how many people in their 20s are like, okay, you'll do for now, you know, until the real Prince Charming comes along.
I've never personally been able to understand that because I'm so bad at faking it when I hate people.
Me too.
And if I have to spend time with you and I don't love you, I will quickly start to hate you.
Spending 5 minutes with Daniel, like that would be my as much as I could handle, I think.
Yeah.
Of one-on-one
time. Well, not everyone is super specific about what they like. Some people have a wider range of things that they could deal with, you know what I mean? Or people they could be attracted to.
You are correct.
Only for a night.
Like literally anything, maybe, in the case of Daniel. Like, they're just like, I could deal with anything, I guess.
Yeah, if you're drunk enough, I suppose, and you're on you're in Mexico, why not?
Yeah. That's true. So
not going to happen for me, but you know, there are people who would be like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to last very long, you know?
Well, he doesn't seem like he's holding out. He's not going to settle for anything because an eagle doesn't settle for a pigeon.
As they say.
Yeah. As they say.
Yes.
On the other hand, he says,
I'm like a disease that won't go away, like herpes.
Herpes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not so bad because they can treat it now. It's like a disease that won't
go away,
but it can be managed and livable.
Oh, God. wow.
Yeah. The point when Daniel said he had to be white girl wasted to sleep with Amanda, and then Evan, like, gives him this dirty look, and Daniel's like, you can't be offended by that. You can't. It's like, well, he can.
Also, Amanda tweeted something last night that was pretty great, something along the lines of, a couple drinks, Daniel, there's not enough tequila in all of Mexico.
Yeah. I like to think Amanda has higher standards, but it seems like she will get with Josh Murray later, so, ugh.
With who?
Josh.
Oh, with Josh.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, let's get to that. Yeah.
So the last few people that come in, you know, we have Chad, who immediately launches into how he's been misunderstood and then threatens to cut Evan's head off.
Yeah.
So that was lovely. And I'm sure we'll spend some time talking about him. And then Lace, who...
Lace.
She's been working on herself, which apparently mental health care in the Bachelor world includes just writing notes to yourself and putting them on your fridge that says, love yourself.
And getting that sick ombre, though, I'm feeling that, you know, her ombre
hair. She looks great.
She has a lot of extensions.
She's looking good.
Yeah, that is certainly not her natural hair.
There's no way her hair grew that fast. I have hair, so I know hair does not grow that fast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an expert.
Yeah, I feel like Lace is really, this is her season. This is her show. Like, this is her moment.
Yeah, I would hope that she will have a better showing next week than last night because it was a rough one.
Well, there was a lot of really interesting stuff in that, and we can get to it if you want, or we can talk about it now. But I think there's like some real life dating parallels in there. Like, she was game at first, and then it goes out of control, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that happens in real life too. I think that's a real situation. Like, and then it's not something she planned for, and thank goodness she had the whole group, but you could see in another context that would not turn out well.
You know? It just happens so much faster, I think, than we usually see that sort of cycle go down.
Well, I've never seen anybody be so physically, like the level of physical, whatever, adversarialness,
whatever
you want
right
to call
word.
That.
Yeah.
It was kind of shocking and hard to watch, to be honest.
Yeah. We have a comment. Tatanisha asks, they mentioned in the promo that there would be numerous proposals. First, name a couple you think will be engaged to each other, and also name a couple you think should get engaged to each other.
I don't know if I think any of these people should get engaged after 18 days of filming. But, okay, initial reactions. Who do you think will?
Well, I'll tell you this. The gazing that Grant was doing at Lace, I mean, that was next level gazing. So I have a feeling she's going to circle back around to him, and something's going to happen there. Because
he also has a history of being engaged to women.
Exactly. And I've actually met that girlfriend, and they look very similar.
Really?
Yes. I've met Jen, the girlfriend, and she's got dark hair and dark eyes, long dark hair. Very similar looking, not as maybe emotionally unstable.
But Grant likes that, yeah. as he
well,
said.
He also said,
that's what I'm saying. It's a type.
He was into it, but also he was like, I feel sorry for anyone who's in a relationship with her, but I really want to get
with
her.
I was like, this
her.
Is some very upsetting foreshadowing because we know you're about to get into a relationship with her. Yeah, yeah. I think that's a good pick for a potential yeah. engagement. I'm personally terrified, but kind of think we're going to see Amanda get engaged because they're playing her up as the darling of the season. And from the promos, my guess is going to be Josh and Amanda. Oh. And that's it's very upsetting, but that's my guess.
I really hope that's a misdirect.
I know. What a disappointment. Yeah.
My sort of optimistic prediction is that it'll be Nick and Amanda because I want Nick to find love on Paradise. Do it for us, Nick.
They wouldn't have given that all away in the promo. I
Nick
think it's
is not
thing.
My nomination for stepdad. Like, Nick is too much of a play. I mean, he's trying to have fun. He is
Josh
not trying
is
to move
definitely
to San Diego.
Not my nomination for stepdad.
Well, but at least he's from, like, the country or in this one way. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's more of a good old boy. You could see, like, the apple pie and baseball and the whole thing for him more than Nick.
Yeah, but, like, there are things that are... I think we have to talk about the fact that...
Right. He's been publicly accused of being emotionally abusive by Andy Dorfman. Mm-hmm.
Like,
I'm just very disturbed.
I felt like Josh was obviously... I still want to see what was in the envelope, you know what I mean, on the lie detector test. Because remember how she ripped up the envelope that had the results of the lie detector test?
Yeah.
In
yeah.
her season. And I'm like, that guy is not telling the truth. So to me, it was obvious that Josh was not a guy who could be trusted.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying he's emotionally abusive. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not there. But what I can say is there was something not entirely trustworthy about him in that season. And so I wouldn't be. I'm not surprised that they broke up at all. You know, it didn't have like that Ben Whitney feel.
No, I think for me, I'm a little bit disturbed that ABC, as as a network, would be okay with sort of funding the image rehab tour of someone who has been publicly accused in detail by one of their former leads of being manipulative, emotionally abusive, and controlling, and then put him on an island with a bunch of 25-year-old women and facilitate him potentially getting engaged to a single mother. I just feel like if that happened in the outside world, you know, of course we can't know the details that go on in other people's relationships, but there's something about it from a fact that it is being funded and facilitated by ABC that feels disturbing to me.
It doesn't sit right. Someone tweeted at me last night, like, because Nick was killing it with his commentary last night on the show.
He was great.
Someone tweeted at me, like, tell me again why Nick got the villain edit on Andy's season. And I sort of think it's because Josh won, and otherwise Josh would have been the villain. He really came off really poorly to me that season, but they had to edit him pretty well because he was the romantic hero in the end. So we'll see how that goes this season.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Jared arrives. Jubilee has her sights set on him.
And she gets the first date card.
I don't see that.
I mean, it's pretty clear from the promos that that's not happening. And we also hardly saw their date.
Yeah.
They had a cute exchange about Lord of the Rings. I was like, cast more nerds, Bachelor. I love this.
Yeah.
This is like, that was like giving me life. But they seem more of a friendship vibe.
Yeah.
Exactly, because that's the first time he ever really turned his whole face to her and even oriented his body toward her and was paying attention in a way that you would expect a man to pay attention when he's attracted to a woman. So I felt like they don't really have anything going on. There was a little bit of an emotional connection when they talked about the nerd stuff, but there's nothing happening there.
Yeah. Jared reminds me more of how I would be if I went on a show like this. Like, he's like, I should stay open and meet people. But if he's confronted with being on a date with someone that he doesn't see it with, he is incapable
can't
of faking
it.
He just kind of mumbles a little.
Yeah.
But he's very sweet, and I'm sure that they'll...
I don't think he dislikes Jubilee.
No.
So he's fine, like, chatting with her and being there with her. But he's not able to be like, all right, let's go all in, and we're on a date, you know? He's
Which
like,
I think
here
right.
we are.
Right. Speaks well to his character instead of... kind of, you know, faking it with her and But that does make me worried because I want more Jubilee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think that in a way, that's what happens when the woman asks the man out. You know, like there's a lot of studies. I'm sorry.
We're getting the reasons why you're not married, Tracy McMillan, now, aren't we?
Yes. I mean, the thing is that, I mean, there's a lot of studies on human mating, and men are very specific, and that's the nature of their attraction is very specific. So they're more binary. They're either into it or not into it. Women, we can be attracted to a lot of different kinds of people.
Anecdotally, now, I don't find that to be the case. I'm very binary.
That's what I was just about to say. I was just about to say there's a continuum. There's a spectrum. It's like a bell curve. Some women are very specific. Some men are kind of open. But if you were to just take the species and you look at the male of the species and the female of the species, men are very specific about what they're attracted to. Women are much more open about what makes them attracted. And that's why women can be like, I always feel like that's the Beauty and the Beast story. It's like, if you are emotionally connected to me, you could be Quasimodo and I'm going to be into it. You know what I mean?
That's just so sad to me though. It creates this expectation to me that I think that we learn to accept to be open to men who aren't what we want because we know that that's our role.
And also society, I think, validates men in a lot of ways beyond physical attractiveness. So I think
it's true.
You know, men are valued for so many different qualities. It makes it easier for women to be open to varying combinations of those qualities.
I would say that is true, but I would actually say that's the result of the biology, not the cause. It's the result. If you look at the studies.
I feel like that's pretty difficult to... I read about this. We've read about it. I feel like it's pretty difficult to nail down cause and effect here, but it's... I mean...
I do think that's a pattern that... Yeah. You know, I would believe that's a pattern we see.
Yeah. I did try once to be the pursuer. I was like, I'm not going to settle because society says I have to wait for whatever man will pursue me. This is the guy I want. I'm going after him. And you know what? We dated for a long time, and he only dumped me like 5 times. But you know, we had that experience, so. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be back in a minute to talk about how quickly the Paradise premiere devolved into total chaos.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something, without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And we're back with Tracy McMillan. So let's get into Chad, which unfortunately took up a bulk of this episode. We've already sort of touched on his entrance, but I think let's talk about that dynamic with Lace and Sarah and Carly calling him out at a certain point. So he gets super, super drunk.
So first of all, Chad targets Lace from the beginning. He says, Lace is someone who I think I'd like to get to know. She seems cool.
Also, is pretty he says clearly, she's a crazy bitch and I like that.
Well, that was a little later. Mm-hmm. But like, he seems clearly to be going after the one girl in the house that he knows from prior seasons has a history of being a little emotionally unstable. So he is definitely targeting the girl who's he perceives as vulnerable. And he's not even hiding that.
My take would be that he's going after the woman who seems the most like his match. You know what I'm saying? Like the one who's the most intense. And that's what his thing is. So he's like, I'm going to go for the intense one because that's what I like. And that's who I am. You know, water seeks its own level in dating.
It worked for a solid 90 minutes.
Was some, you know, rapport that seemed friendly, some friendly banter, if you will, which
she walked up to him and said, or she swam up to him. She was like, I want to get to know the soft side of Chad. And I was like, sweetie, this is the soft side of Chad. This
he's
is
like, you want to go cuddle?
It's gonna get.
You want to go cuddle? Yeah. That was the most human I've seen Chad is just those 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it all devolved very quickly between alcohol
What it would be like if they weren't drinking, you know, it would probably not get to that place that it got to. Like she was in her confessional was almost falling over, you know.
He was.
So was he. Yeah. The two of them were both, I mean, very intoxicated.
It was
so drunk. Yeah. Not good. Not good. So let that be a lesson. Don't be have your intensity be at 11 and then start drinking and amp it up to a 17.
Yeah, she was definitely going for, you know, she was like, I can only drink Blanco, first of all. Like, okay, yeah, that clearly worked out great. So she's like, I can handle this. And also, I'm going to draw Chad out a bit. I think a lot of them thought they were talking before Chad arrived and after he arrived. Oh, you know. He came off crazy on TV, but I'm sure he's like a good guy and we'll meet him and we'll actually really like him. He'll be fun. He'll be cool. Like, we'll be his best friend. And I think that Lace had a little bit of that. Like, I'm going to get to know Chad specifically. And yeah, I'm going to see that side of him. And so she kind of plays his game for a little bit. And then suddenly she's getting thrashed around in a pool while he yells, I've got money. I've got muscles. I brought so much protein powder.
He also brought his meat scale, Claire.
And meat. He brought meat to paradise. There's no meat in Mexico.
So we have a comment from Tammy from Illinois. She says, Chad is such a weirdo. Lace knows exactly how crazy he is and is truly attracted to him. I'm not sure she knew the extent of how aggressive he was going to be. But I do agree that she was attracted to him. I mean, there are definitely...
I agree.
Women who are attracted to Chad.
Yeah, there are a lot of, I think a lot of them thought it would be funny until they were personally confronted with him, you know,
out of control.
Physically
assaulting. Well, you sort of heard that, and I think it's something that you kind of hear in pop culture, the narrative of, oh, this person is hard on the outside and they're just misunderstood, but then like, I'll be the one to find their gooey center and like make them.
Yeah.
A safe and loving partner. And I was like, it's just not going to happen with Chad. Not right now.
His gooey center is like, I'm trying to tell you I like you. Okay, fine, bitch. I'll tie you to the railroad tracks. I'll push you in front of a speeding car.
He's like, it's a joke. It's a joke.
That's his gooey center. It's not a pleasant place to be liked by Chad.
Also, PSA, like just saying it's a joke after you threaten to murder someone doesn't negate the fact that you just threatened to murder someone.
Especially if you're doing it the first night. Like, where does it go from there? One of these nights he's not going to say, I'm just joking after that.
And so finally Lace is like, okay, I've had enough. And, you know, this is a thing. Like, anyone in a relationship can reach a point where they decide they've had enough and they're allowed to say, I've had enough and that should be respected.
In this case, it took only 2 hours.
Right. She said, I want you to go away. And instead, He does not, in fact, go away. And we cut to Daniel talking about how Chad is talking about murder and rape and killing and all things bad. And then Daniel starts talking about the moon and cheese. So I don't know. That goes off the rails a little bit, but
as it often does with Daniel.
As it often does.
Wow.
But it all devolves from there.
And Daniel is someone who's previously talked about rating women and how much he enjoys it, how mm-hmm. the women are bruised fruit and he deserves better. And he's saying, Chad,
you're
can't make these offensive comments about women. They don't want you here. You're frightening people. Please stop. But ultimately, Daniel just wants Chad to stay on the island. He's like, no one's going to give this guy a rose next week. And I was like, oh, that's what you're worried about. Thanks, Daniel.
Yeah, it's hard to say very much about it. It's just so extreme. It's so extreme.
I mean, the real thing is just how shocking it was, I think, to us as watching and also to a lot of the mm-hmm. cast members that ABC would put someone on the show.
It was so clearly unstable and potentially violent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them assumed in part just because ABC had sent him on the show that he would turn out to be fine. Like, oh, sure, he got the villain edit, but like
redemption
we all
story.
Hang out after the show and even the villains are kind of okay. You know, like we're all just kind of people who get crazy reality TV arcs and then ABC sends us to paradise and we all make out. And instead, ABC sent them to Mexico with a crazy person.
Right. And after watching all this for hours, we got a nice shot of Amanda and the twins and Nick just like eating popcorn and chips and watching the Chad show. Mm-hmm. But Sarah has kind of had enough. And I mean, I loved this moment, even though it ended up being very upsetting. But she kind of says, like, the way you speak about women is incredibly offensive.
Yeah.
This is not okay and it's not funny. And of course, instead of, you know, handling that criticism respectfully or taking any responsibility mm-hmm. for his actions, he goes after the fact that Sarah has a physical disability.
Yeah. Mm.
He's kind of Trumpian.
He's very Trumpian.
A lot of Trump vibes. A lot. Mm-hmm.
It's uncanny.
I mean, that's narcissism. You know, it's like kind of textbook narcissistic wound is when somebody is like right underneath is this rage. So if there's any criticism, then they like, it's like that destructive, you know, rage that happens is if there's even the thin skin, if there's even the slightest criticism, and then they come after you in the most hardcore way. So it's, you know, what's interesting for me is that it's like a textbook to watch it. You're like, okay, that's what it looks like, people. So if you're dating somebody who's behaving in this way, it's a thing. It's not like this person and this situation, mm-hmm. you know, sort of like what you're saying about Lace thinking, oh, there's a real person under there. It's like, nope. When you see this, where there's smoke, there's fire. If it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's a duck, you know? And I think when we date, it's like oftentimes we want to say, gosh, you know what? It could be a kitten. You never know. And it's not. It's not a kitten. And so what I love about these shows is that they really demonstrate the various things that go on out there in the dating world, you know? And as much as you can get the villain edit or there's a narrative being constructed by the producers, there's a lot of human behavior captured in these shows that is not anything you could fake or undo.
And that's the appeal of reality television is those nuggets of truth. And that's why we like analyzing it so much.
Comment from Kayla from Facebook. Why do you think that these women and men even started off the night thinking that Chad was likable, redeemable, or fixable? I mean, I think that that's a lot of it. And I mean, there's a certain element of, you know, we almost think these things only exist in textbooks. Like people don't want to admit that we could actually be looking at someone who's abusive or who's a sociopath mm-hmm. or who's a narcissist. It almost seems like people think the simplest explanation is he's pretending and he's actually a really mm-hmm. great guy and it's just shielded in this, you know, thick exterior, which is actually the least likely explanation.
I also think, you know, they're primed to give him the benefit of the doubt because, like you said, they've all been through this really weird experience that can sometimes bring out the worst in people.
Yeah.
And I also think that people can change, but they have to want to, and they have to acknowledge that there's something wrong. And what you're seeing with Chad thus far is that he's not ready to acknowledge, oh, there's a problem. Now, whatever you want to say about Lace, she came off of her experience saying, oh, I have a problem. I need to put some notes on my fridge. You know what I mean? I need to address
totally.
This.
Yeah, definitely.
And even if she didn't do it well, she's acknowledging. That's the beginning of having a new experience. I mean, the truth is people can work on things and change. We naturally give people the benefit of the doubt because we're social creatures that need each other to survive, and we live in communities. So there is a part of us that's willing to do that, but it's just like you just can't give that benefit of the doubt to somebody who's not ready to acknowledge what's
wrong. Right. And that's why I give Lace a lot of credit.
Yeah.
And I don't give Chad a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the difference.
Yeah. I tend to, like, I mock pretty much everyone, but at the end of the day, I tend to give most of them the benefit of the doubt that they are ultimately fine people who are doing their best and are works in progress like all of us.
Exactly.
And then you find someone like Chad who really takes advantage of the best instincts of all of them, and it's really hard to watch.
I actually think Chad's not – I don't think he's on purpose doing whatever. I think what happens is he drinks and he loses control. I don't think that he's like – going at, or, you know, trying to be a bad person, just like anybody. It's not, I don't think he's trying to be a bad
person.
I think
he just is a really bad person.
Or, yeah, and I, you know, clearly there's things that he needs to work out, not on a platform of reality television, on a national stage. And I think, you know, even when he was eventually leaving, Jared kind of says, like, I think maybe he needs to seek help or see a therapist. And, like, to me, it was like, yeah, that seems like a really solid suggestion. Not in a way of like, you're crazy, you need to like see a therapist. But I kind of think everyone should probably be in some form of therapy. But I think if you have some, you cannot control yourself, you cannot control your language, your emotions, you know, if you pose a danger to people around you, seeking help is probably a good idea.
And I think that what also happens is that he's not like that all the time. You know,
he's like that a lot of the time.
Well, I have friends who know him, and I think he's fine probably most of the time, but you get in that combustible situation. And my point is not to apologize for him. My point is to say he's human. He's not bad all the time. That's why you could say, okay, like, yeah, let's cast him on this show because he's not bad all the time. He's only bad when there's a camera rolling. He's been drinking for 10 hours. He's been, you know, he's in a petri dish of like insanity. So, and it makes good television because look, here we are.
I mean, personally, I mean, most people don't act like he would be in prison if he acted like this literally all the time. But I really don't believe that people who aren't deep down kind of deeply ill-intentioned people do things like that under the influence and in front of cameras. He called Sarah a one-armed bitch. He told her to keep, like, sucking the D of fame.
He apparently told everyone, the entire hotel to suck a dick.
Like, he tried to, like, physically attack Evan again. You know, these are not coincidental. Like, and it's definitely not someone that you could be in a, like, any sort of relationship
with.
It's always a really bad thing in a partner, and also just generally in a person. We see this a lot from Chad, especially on Mental All, and now he's sort of figured out that this is a line he can use. I'm having a hard time because my mom died, and it's just it's like he's learning, and I don't think that it maybe is like a grand, you know, master plan to hurt everyone, but he has figured out these ways to exploit people's sympathies to get away with some really harmful stuff. And then, you know, he'll say, you know, I'm just joking. I'm just having fun. But if it's turned against him, be like, you're joking, man. This is my life. You're ruining my life. You know, there's no sense
of
empathy.
There's not a lot of self-awareness.
Self-awareness or empathy.
Yeah. No.
And I really wish they hadn't cast him. It kind of cast a big cloud. And one of our commenters, Kayla, was asking, is ABC liable for any danger they put the other contestants in? I don't know what the legal question is. Morally, I find it very questionable that they did that. I mean, and we've been talking about that since since he was on the show.
Like that's why they got rid of him. You know
what? Yeah, I assume that they
because they couldn't do it.
Right. Yeah. They quickly realized like this is crossing a line even for us, even for you know,
at the point that he shoved Evan in the throat on Bachelorette, I feel like they should not have been casting him on another show. And to me, that's that was a big mistake. But, you know, it looks like we're going to see a little bit more of Chad next week, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And we're also,
as he yells at our fair Bachelor Chris Harrison.
And
amazing.
But then hopefully we can move on because we've, you know, we're seeing a few other little miscellaneous couples potentially pop up.
Izzy and Vinny.
Maybe, like you said, Lace and Grant.
That's a good match.
Yeah. And apparently we'll see a little bit of Amanda and Nick and then Amanda and Josh. So I'm excited to put Chad away.
Yeah.
And move on to other people.
Well, I guess I would start with Amanda and Nick. I don't see it. Because I think in the end, if I'm dating Nick and I'm Amanda and I have two little kids and I live in Encinitas or whatever, San Diego, Nick might do that for a while, but I don't think that's his life plan at all. So, and if I have two little kids, I'm not going to bring a guy into their life who's just going to be there for a year or two. That is a mistake, you know?
Yeah, especially I'm almost wondering who you're going to meet on Paradise who doesn't have another plan. Like
I think Evan could do it. Maybe I think Evan could do it.
Evan's kind of the only one.
Yeah.
I know. He is the only one. I mean, maybe a guy like Vinny could do it. A guy like Vinny could maybe do it. Like, there's a certain kind of guy out there who can be like, okay, sure, yeah, I want to be in a family and be regular and do picnics and barbecues and hang out. But a lot of these guys who want to be stars, the stars, they're not going to be interested in it, you know?
Yeah.
They're not going to be interested. And not in the long run. They might think like, oh, how does the other half live? Oh, what's it like to date a nice, nurturing girl? You know, because when you're a single mom and you're out there dating, there is something extremely attractive about the way a mom relates. You can take care of someone emotionally. Like, there's a lack of self-centeredness that naturally happens when you become a mother that is really attractive. Men get their emotional needs met on a whole nother level from women who are mothers.
More so than just normal women who are trained to take care of men's emotional needs. That must be really
I don't think normal women. Yeah. I think it's very, I know when I became a mother and I'm out there dating as a single mother, men are saying to me, wow, this is a whole other level of, and I don't think most women who are single, certainly not in New York and LA, are trained to take care of men's needs. I think maybe women in Dallas might be trained to take care of men's needs. But when you come to LA or New York or you're living in the world of like career gal, you're doing what you want. You know what I mean? You're thinking, hey, I want to like go out with my friends and go to brunch and live my life. And
I mean, I hope
that's
so. Dating,
certainly true. Yes. I don't want to take care of men's emotional needs, not man babies.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But if you want to have a healthy relationship, each partner is going to have to take care of the other person's emotional needs to some degree. That's a healthy relationship. I mean, you look at these men
who
are
looking
at a woman.
Right. I think the reciprocal part is what, you know, ends up
I think
becoming
a challenge.
A lot of
women, in my experience, end up in relationships where it's pretty one-sided because men expect them to get their girlfriends to get their emotional needs met elsewhere and that they will turn to their girlfriend for their own emotional support.
Yeah, because men have much smaller emotional support systems than women do. We have like all of our friends, we talk about emotional things. By and large, you're not going to find men at the water cooler talking about, you know, the date they went on last night, not in an emotional way.
Well, I think they need to work on that.
I think so.
Step it up, guys. That's all I'm saying.
Make more friends, dudes.
And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
We have a big assortment today. So, first, Daniel comments that the women who arrived, I guess, before the twins, so the quote unquote older women of 25 and older, are washed up dogs on the beach and fruit that's been bruised in transit.
Charming.
I guess we have this as a 4.5.
Yeah, we're trying not to give everything a 5. That's the challenge.
I think that's a 9.
Yeah, that feels like a really high.
Off the charts.
That was
It's bad. That's so bad.
It was so offensive.
The problem is I have trouble with all of these that we have written down because they're all 5s.
They're all so offensive.
Daniel talks about how he loves rating women on numeric scale.
And now we are going to rate that. I guess a 4 is what we have.
Yeah.
Chad calls Lace an effing bitch and a cunt. I'm going to give that one a 5.
Yeah.
That's really gross. Don't do that.
Yeah. And then we already talked about Chad calling Sarah a one-armed bitch, which, like, I feel bad.
It's offensive on every level. That's another 5. Chad tells Sarah to suck a dick of fame for standing up to him. Chad tells everyone to suck a dick.
5s.
5s. And then Chad yells at everyone else for getting offended at all of these things because they just can't take a joke. And to me, this felt right out of like the men's rights activist playbook.
This is like advanced sexism. It's like a little more subtle.
Well, there is that misogyny in there in the whole franchise that there's always one or two guys that are going to be those guys who are sitting around talking about women like they're like parts cars, you know?
Yeah.
So it's there and that's the disturbing part. And it's almost like I have to overlook that part in order to watch all the shows, you know?
Ugh, it makes me feel better to document it.
Well, no, and I know what you're saying, because it's mostly like saying, look, it's out there. It's out there. These are attitudes that are out there. And
right.
You just have to decide what you're going to, you know, who you're going to be with. Are you going to be with somebody who has those attitudes?
Yeah.
You know?
And what I found heartening this episode, it was, you know, Sarah calling them out, Carly calling them out.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Evan
and Nick and both. Nick. And Vinny, actually, the next morning also was like, that's not a joke. You're offending threatening the women who live here.
But are you concerned about the fact that, like, Amanda's not calling them out? Like, isn't it interesting that the women who are, you know, like, why is Amanda not calling them out? Why is Jubilee not calling them out? I'm just
Jubilee
curious.
Wasn't there. Jubilee and Jared weren't there. So we didn't see them. I believe they were on the date basically while this whole thing was happening.
I mean, the thing about Jubilee to me, though, is that her whole intro package was about how she's going to be like really sweet and sunny now because she was too
perceived as
she didn't smile enough, which drives me crazy. Like, Jubilee, you're perfect. Don't change. So I feel like she's going to be hesitant to be tough.
Really vocal on these things.
And Amanda never is.
It's also hard to know what we didn't see because they did, you know, they filmed that for so many hours and they showed just a few little snippets. So I don't know. The sort of sunny side of me wants to believe that some of, you know, the rest of them maybe chimed in to support.
We'll never know.
Well, I love that Sarah said what she said. I thought
she was like a feminist hero. I loved her.
She was.
Yeah. All right. And finally, our tweet of the week is from Bachelorette alum JJ Lane at JJ H Lane. Somehow at Vile Nicholas 28, that's Nick, will find a way to get second place on Bachelor in Paradise. Hashtag we believe in you.
So true. Poor Nick, but I unfortunately think JJ might be right.
We're pulling for you, Nick. Well, Emma and I are. We're not speaking for you, Tracy.
No, I'm pulling for Nick. I mean, I don't know what Nick's ultimate life path is, where he goes from here, but I'm interested to see it.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll run into him in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
I know.
Ask him what he's up to.
Maybe I will.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. We had a great time.
We did.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Tracy McMillan. And as always, thanks to our producer, Nick Offenberg.
If you haven't yet, find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a rating. We're also on Facebook, so go ahead and like us. You'll find a live stream of today's podcast shared on our page. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. Or you can send us an email, heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday for another week in paradise.
And apparently another week of Chad.